A reading for Lent. Speak a word. Life-giving God, may I speak a word of hope into someone's spirit today, extolling the promise and potential offered in each new rising sun. May I speak a word of joy into someone's spirit today, illuminating their worth, their beauty, and blessing just as they are. May I speak a word of victory into someone's spirit today, reminding them that they carry within themselves a power greater than evil. May I speak a word of love into someone's spirit today, freely offering the agape of God without condition. May I speak a word of peace into someone's spirit today, offering the quiet strength of restraint over retort. As I prepare to offer these gifts of the Spirit, may I recall that I cannot offer what I do not have. Therefore, may hope, joy, victory, love, and peace reside in me as well. Amen. The prophet Amos called for a time when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And if you've noticed the picture on the cover of our bulletin and the blue fabric representing water rolling down, this is going to be our focus throughout the season of Lent, Amos's vision of justice. So imagine if we could live in a world where justice came so easily and abundantly that it could be compared to the waters of the Niagara Falls or Victoria Falls, a world where everyone's needs were met, where differences were celebrated and encouraged, where all were welcomed at the table, a place where our voices were honored from the youngest to the elders in our communities. Imagine a world where life is valued above being right or having power. Imagine a world free from all the boundaries and the walls that we build to keep from truly seeing and knowing one another. Imagine a world. When we think about the ministry of Jesus, we like to focus on the love and the forgiveness as if Jesus was some big teddy bear. But if we really got into the scripture, we'll see that Jesus was a radical. He challenged the status quo of that day. Jesus was willing to push against the boundaries and work about tearing down all of the ways that we separate one of ourselves from one another. Jesus offered salvation to a woman who was unclean and sinful according to the law of that day. He invited a hated tax collector, someone who had stolen, a thief, in their presence. He offered him the chance to follow and become one of his disciples. Jesus, the parables that he told, elevated the status of outsiders, Samaritans, and women who had no voice and no status in that society. And Jesus did this over and over again throughout our Gospels. And so today, as we begin this season of Lent, and throughout the season of Lent, we're going to focus on Amos's dream of justice rolling down. How might we let the season of Lent shape us and challenge us and move us toward this vision in our daily living? And today we're going to begin with a passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And this passage is a powerful witness to God's love for us in Christ Jesus. It is a passage that I read at every funeral that I perform, because it reminds us that we cannot be separated from God's love. I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, and I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or in the Bible that's in the pew rack in front of you. Hear now God's word for us this morning. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's word for us this morning. Can you think of a time or a place when you felt like you didn't belong? I'm seeing a lot of head nods. Growing up as a pastor's kid, there were numerous times when I was forced to enter a new school, a new church, a new youth group, and each time I was painfully aware that it would take a while before I really felt like I truly belonged. But the good news was I was a pastor's kid, and so everybody at least attempted to make me feel welcomed and let me know that it was important that I was a part of the whole. And so that I never felt like I truly belonged, but I didn't feel like I was on the outskirts either. My challenge with belonging was at 3 p.m. each afternoon while I waited on the playground to pick up my kids after school. I know that this sounds silly, but you see, when people know that you're the pastor in town, they either avoid you like the plague, or they come to you with all their troubles, and all of a sudden you're pastor again. And seldom do they see me as a mom just like them with the same challenges that they face. And when people did talk to me, they would apologize every time a foul word came up or any time a subject that seemed a little unsavory happened. It was, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And so after a while, I just decided, you know what, it's probably better if I just stand alone over here. All of us have had times or situations when it's just easier to stand alone, when we feel like we just don't belong. The awareness of this should help us to see beauty in those who have really known the pain of being on the outside, because my situation is not that big of a situation. But then I think of young people like Ruby Bridges. Do you know who Ruby Bridges is? Ruby Bridges was the first African-American child to attend an all-white public elementary in the American South. She was only 6 years old when she became the first African-American to integrate into a white Southern elementary school. And on November 14th, 1960, due to the violent mobs that stood outside the elementary school that day, she needed U.S. Marshals to escort her into class. I can't imagine the courage that it took for her to take that walk, to take those steps, and to know that many people felt strongly that she didn't belong, that she didn't deserve to be there solely because of the color of her skin. Or maybe it's the experience of Mark Miller. Mark is the composer of the anthem that the choir is going to be sharing a little bit later in our worship time. Mark grew up in a United Methodist family. He was adopted by the Miller family. Actually, this week, Chuck Miller, one of my colleagues, his funeral will be this week, and we will celebrate and remember his life. But Mark grew up, his sister was a pastor, his cousin was a pastor, his niece was a pastor. It's kind of like a family thing. But Mark will never become a pastor because Mark is a gay man. And in 2002, when Mark was a lay delegate to the United Methodist Church General Conference, he encountered the hatred of fellow United Methodists that were willing to compare him and his life to an animal. Out of this experience, he composed the song, "I Am a Child of God," which you'll hear later in our worship. And there have been too many times in the history of our world when we have allowed this concept of belonging, who is in and who is out, to allow for the genocide of millions. In Nazi Germany, the Jews were described in subhuman terms in order to propagate their exclusionary agenda. All of these practices, they continue. They are not part of our history. They are our now. Globally, nationally, there is always resistance to those that we see as other, towards those that we don't know or that we don't understand. So when the Apostle Paul was writing the letter to the church in Rome, he knew resistance. His ministry was to the Gentiles. He was bringing good news of God's salvation to people that did not belong. Paul faced the ridicule of the original apostles around the issue of whether Gentiles needed to be circumcised and become like Jews in order to be followers of Jesus. He entered communities that were hostile to his message and more than willing to end his life in order to stop him. And yet, even in his rejection, even in his suffering, he knew the depth of God's love. And so he's able to write to Christians in Rome and remind them that their suffering and their weakness, that frustration, bondage to decay, ignorance, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death, life, angels, demons, powers, the present, the future, heights, depths. And if that wasn't enough, anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from God's love. Ultimately, Paul would be martyred in Rome. And yet, throughout all of this and more, he remained insistent. Nothing in all of creation will be able to separate you from God's love. When you feel alienated, when you feel separated, or estranged, perhaps by others, even by your own self, when you sense that everyone and everything is against you, it's easy to forget Paul's declaration that God is unequivocally for you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Now, I'm aware that when we begin to discuss the topics of exclusion, we get anxious. We run the risk of anger and shame and blame and deep resistance to even have the conversation. We are uncomfortable with challenging conversations. But I wonder if we can at least begin by acknowledging that each one of us has been imprinted with the image of the divine. On Ash Wednesday, we gathered for a time of worship, and what a blessing. Ash Wednesday was such a gift to me. I had a chance to be down at the train station with my colleagues, and we had over 60 people that came. Is Les here? Les even came. He was running around, came for Ash's. And then our service at noon wasn't huge, but it had so many people from the community. And what a gift. And then we gathered for soup and for worship on Wednesday night. And when people came up for Ash's, the thing that you typically say on Ash Wednesday is remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. Each one of us is mortal. But that's not the full story. You see, God breathed into that dust. The divine breath, the divine image is in each one of us. And we may disagree on everything under the sun, but each one of us is intricately linked by virtue of our identity as children of God. We can focus on all the things that separate us, or we can focus on the core of who we are. In confirmation class each week, we light a candle at the start of class. And I'm smiling because each week I say, now what does the candle stand for? And they go, But the candle, and I remind them each week, we light the Christ candle to remind us that we may not agree on everything. We are going to come from different places. We see the world differently. We bring different thoughts. What keeps us united, what keeps us as one, is Christ's love. That is what keeps us at the table, even when we don't agree on all things. We may not see eye to eye on certain topics. We will come to conversations with different viewpoints and understandings, but our unity is found in Christ's love. And so maybe this is where we begin, seeing each other through this lens. And I know I say this all the time, but you are a child of God. That is the core of your identity. Nothing can separate you from the love in which you were created. Nothing can separate you from that. And so I'm going to ask you to do something today. If you're not sitting near someone, you have to find somebody you can at least turn to. And if you don't know their name, ask their name. If it's your spouse, I get it, you're sitting with your spouse. But maybe you can turn and look to somebody behind you. And what I want you to do is just say their name and tell them you are a child of God. Let's give it a try. Matilda, you are a child of God. Now, imagine if we went through our days each day and each person that we met, I'm not telling you to go out and tell that to everybody you meet on the streets. Although it would be interesting to see how that worked out for you. But maybe that's something that we can remind ourselves, especially when we come face to face with the people that we find the hardest to love, the hardest to accept. Can we do that each day? And how will that change not only our viewpoint, but the world around us? So we're going to enter into a time of prayer right now, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to invite you to close your hands and make a tight fist if you can. Lent is a time of giving up something as a sign of penitence in the Middle Ages. And this season, we're going to contemplate what we need to do in order to let justice roll down, to let justice prevail in our lives and in our church and in our world. And so I invite you to think about those who you find difficult to love as children of God. And perhaps it's even yourself. Or maybe it was a prejudice you grew up with that, despite your best efforts, keeps playing in the background of your beliefs. Or perhaps it's a particular trait in others that rubs you the wrong way, and compassion is just more difficult for you to feel. Or perhaps it's someone that has wronged you. Now slowly open your hands, letting go of the tension there, and imagine that cool water is flowing into and over them. Let us pray. We come before you, Creator of all, knowing that we hold on to self-loathing, resentments, and prejudices that we think will protect us in some way. And in doing so, we dishonor that which you have created. Forgive us, Lord, and open us to your refreshing water of life. Open us to your unconditional love that moves us closer to compassion and courage to speak up and stand up for what is right and what is good. Amen.